Blog Talk Radio.
Mute your phone.
Hello?
Heart to Heart, Mission from the Heart Radio. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. I am just excited once again to just bring awareness to those who have been with us every week concerning this bullying issue. Who's bullying who? I tell you, I'm here tonight on the program today with my co-host, Nikki Mason, and it is just a blessing to be in a series of a bully awareness, and this is Bully Awareness Month, and we're on series four, and I tell you, if you've been with us over these programs, they have just been such a blessing to us as we continue to shed light and bring awareness, and most of all, that it would prick your heart to pray, to move you to a spirit of prayer that would bring this to the hearts of those that need to be to the throne of grace, to the throne of God. We have a special guest that's going to be with us tonight. Her name is Tracy Sisson, and I want Nikki to make sure that I pronounce her last name. So I just want to welcome you to the program, and I'm going to turn it over to Nikki, my co-host, that has been a blessing to have her through these series. And because of the passion that she has so embedded in her heart concerning this problem, this darkness that just dampens our school, that just dampens our communities, and even in our homes, and it can be on our workplace, that we have shedded some light about this bullying issue. So I, again, just want to thank you from the grace of God for being so faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but also being a soldier in the Army as far as praying concerning this problem that hovers over our schools and our children and hovers in our homes and our community. So, Nikki, if you will, go ahead and introduce yourself and introduce our guest.
Well, you know, I'm Sister Nikki Mason from Baltimore Missionary Baptist Church. I'm also an advocate for children, as I stated before. I am just overjoyed to be here tonight. My pastor is Pastor Michael Crow and Sister Sharon Crow. We're doing the fourth episode on the bullying, so I'm very excited about it. The guest that we have tonight is Ms. Tracy Chason, and she is a wonderful lady. She has blessed us to come on tonight and to tell us her story, give us her personal testimony, some of the things that she went through with her oldest daughter, and so, which is Bruce Gilbert. And so I'm going to ask Tracy just to tell us a little bit about herself. And, you know, tell us who she are, what church you're from, Tracy, who's your pastor. And then we're going to, you know, talk about your personal testimony afterwards. But I want you to kind of just introduce yourself. I want to thank you for being on the show, and I want to thank Sister Carnita for having both of us.
Okay, thank you. Good evening. My name is Tracy Chason. I'm honored to be asked to speak tonight. Yes, I am an advocate also as well on the effects of bullying and how it affected my family. Yes, I'm a member of Higher Dimension Baptist Church. Pastor Johnson is my pastor. And as a child, I also experienced bullying, but I was quiet about it. I never said anything about it. And my daughter experienced, you know, the effects of bullying as well before she passed.
I kind of want to also, when you talk about that, not to remember, but when you talk about you having experienced bullying yourself, tell us a little bit about that. Because what I want to kind of do is relate it from then to now. And the reason why I want to do that, because I want people to understand that the pattern has not changed. The concept has not changed. We brought this to an attention on previous, you know, previous shows that people used to call it teasing. You know, mm-hmm. stop teasing that person, stop picking with that person. They never would say stop bullying that person. So I want you to tell mm-hmm. a little bit from your personal experience, from you being bullied, and how you see it. Is it still the same today, or do you think it's worser?
Yes. Back in the day, like when we were in school, coming up the 80s and 90s, I think it was bad back then too, but now it's worse. I didn't experience anyone like threatening me and like telling me, oh, you need to give me your lunch money, things like that. It wasn't that type of bullying, but it was like hurtful words they would say to me and make fun of me. You know, just saying like hurtful things to hurt my feelings. But nowadays what's going on, kids is getting bullied. They're threatened, you know, about needing to give their lunch money, or someone is just really picking on them real bad, and they're doing it constant. I think in this day in society, kids are a lot more crueler than when we were, you know, coming up going to school. I really think in this generation it has gotten worse. And a boy used to pick on me all the time, and I was so scared, you know, and timid and shy, I wouldn't say anything. You know, I thought it was okay for someone to do that. But in the long run, I think it affected me mentally, emotionally, and I kind of had, like, low self-esteem going up because I felt like, you know, like I wasn't, you know, sitting in the crowd, I wasn't beauty enough, or, you know, it kind of affected me in the long run. And I wish back then I would have said something, because at that time, if I would have told a teacher or a counselor, they would have went ahead and counseled that person that bullied me. And by me not saying anything, it affected me in the long run. And I think that's the same thing what happened to my daughter. And I don't know how long she was bullied. I don't know if it was from her grade school, from first to fifth grade, or just when she got in middle school. Because when I found about she was being bullied and they were calling names and picking on her back and forth on the school bus, that was a month before she passed. But I don't know how long she had kept that, you know, from us. So what I'm trying to do is teach children, don't keep anything bottled inside. Someone's hurting you or saying hurtful things to you or threatening you, you immediately go tell an adult, you know, somebody close to you, school administrators, your teacher, a trusted adult, you need to tell. Don't hold it in, because when you hold it in, you know, you just feel with so much emotion, then it makes you scared. And I try to teach my daughter Joy, she in second grade now, don't be scared. Learn how to talk. You have the authority to talk. You know, that's what you use your mouth for, you know. Don't be scared. Don't be timid. And see, I was more on the timid, shy side, and I thought it was just going to go away. It never went away, because the boy that did pick on me, he picked on me all the way through high school, and I just hate that I did not say anything. So it does affect a child in the long run. And I really think my daughter left here, too, with a hurted heart, because so many kids had picked on her, and she never did say nothing. And she kept it just bottled inside until the very end. But I wish she would have said something. And that's what I want the children to know. Don't let anyone do anything bad to you, say anything wrong. Once it happened, you need to address it, you know, right then.
And I thank you for that, because you brought up a very, very valid point. Like a lot mm-hmm. of people do. They're called stuffers.
Mm-hmm.
And what they do is, you know, that old saying, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. That's not true.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
you can hit me and that feeling of that lick will go away after a while. It may sting for a little bit. I may be sore from it for a few days. But the word that you say to me tears me down more than you hitting on me. And so that sticks with me because not only does it hurt me, but it messes with my mind, my heart, and my spirit. And what we want to do is, like you say, let children know. Say something in the beginning because it's just like I said before. If you call me dumb enough, then I'm going to begin to believe I'm dumb. If I'm constantly hearing it every single day, and especially when people are bullying, one person is bullying you, and then they begin to, a lot of people begin to bully you, you know, or they join in all together, then you begin to have low self-esteem about yourself. And you're definitely right, Ms. Chason, because you have a lot of people, you know, don't realize that bullying has been around for years. When your parents were young, when their parents were young, but people called it teasing or stop picking or leave that person alone. You know, they didn't think anything of it a lot of the times. They, oh, children are just being children. You know, just ignore what they say. Well, now we can ignore it because we have a lot of kids hurting one another, killing one another, as well as themselves. And you made a valid point. You know, you said, you know, my daughter left here, and I believe she left here with a hurt heart. And I think if nobody else gets anything else from this bullying, that speaks a lot of volume. You know, that lets you know that a person left here hurting. You know, I've been picked at so much till I'm hurting. And it seems like when you're like that, you know, we know that you loved your child, but everyone else around me picking at me doesn't love me. And that's a hurtful thing. And so I say to you, with the experience that you had for yourself, as well as your daughter, how do you now, like you say, you teach your youngest child how to speak up for herself now. Has it made you, by you experiencing the things that you experienced in your own life, you know, with coming up as someone bullying you and then the pattern repeated itself with your daughter, has it made you stronger and more determined to, you know, say, no, it stops here. You know, I'm going to do something about it. I have changed. You know, this has got to have a change has to come. I'm not going to tolerate it anymore. Or do you feel like there's no hope?
No, I feel that there is hope, and yes, I am determined now at the point since it happened to me and then to my daughter that, yes, it now needs to come to a stop because I wouldn't want Joy to experience, you know, the hurt and pain by someone picking on you, calling you, or, you know, abusing you, you know, physically because, like you were saying too, I think it is the what you say to me mentally will affect me, and I will suffer in the long run. It's the hurt because I'm always thinking that I'm not pretty enough or I'm not worthy. So yes, it's the verbal abuse I think that will stick with a child versus them trying to pick on them or just hurt them because some kids have a fight and, you know, kids are going to fight, but it's that mentally with you just picking, that is what is affecting our children. And no, I believe there is hope, and I'm going to fight, you know, until the very end because now I'm an advocate. So I'm going to do all that I can, and I think, you know, changes will be made. But, no, I think that there is hope. And I will try to do everything that I can in my power to talk to kids and advocate and make sure that kids are aware that they need to be open and talk about it. Don't hide your feelings. If you feel like you want to go to a counselor at your school and you don't feel comfortable with talking to the parents first, go to the counselor, you know, because that's what the counselors are there for, too. They're there to help. And when I was in school, I felt like going to a counselor maybe was a bad thing, but no, they can go to their counselor, talk to them first. If they don't want to come to the parent, then once they talk to the counselor, then let the counselor call the parent, and then it'll be like a, you know, the counselor can describe everything that's going on that the child didn't want to discuss with the parent. But no, I think it's going to be hope, and I think it is going to get better because I have faith. And a lot of parents need to teach their children to love and teach children how to be kind and say nice words. You know, a lot of children, too, see what their parent does, and if that parent is being mean and cruel to other adults, a child feel like they can go to school and do that to their classmates. But I think it starts from home, too, and there needs to be love and nurturing in the home, and it starts, too, from home. So, you know, and teach their children just to be caring, not always being mean, because that affects, you know, a child, you know, what they see an adult do. And it really, it affects that as well, on how a child will act and go to school among their friends and classmates, because sometimes they'll act the same way, and they're just lashing out and feeling that that's right to do because of what they see an adult do.
And I agree with that, and the reason why I agree with that, because I always say that a lot of times, like you said, and we doing this, I've learned so much. Being an advocate for these kids, especially with the bullying situation, I've learned so much. But at the same time, everybody is saying the same thing. We had the Kingdom Builders on the second show. Last week we had educators and medical people in the medical field, and they all said the same thing. It starts at home. You know, even I said on the first show, it starts at home, because a lot of times kids who bully, their parents are bullies. And then the parents turn around and say, well, who taught you that behavior? Why do you say that? I don't know where she gets that from. If I'm a cursor and I curse all the time, and I have children, what do I expect my children to do? If I'm a liar and I lie all the time, then I expect my children to lie. So one of the things that we as adults have to understand, we're not in order and we are not representing our children. We're not representing ourselves right, therefore we're failing our kids. And in my experience, I have worked in call centers. I have worked on jobs where there are multiple people, and a lot of majority of the times, a lot of them are women. I find that the women bully each other. You know, we talk about what such and such has on, or look at her hair, or she thinks she cute. Even if we go out and hang out, if I'm out and it's a group of women out, a lot of times we sit around at the table with girlfriends or friends. If you go to the club, we're looking at this lady that comes in because she's dressed a little bit better, or she's wearing an outfit a little bit better than we want her to wear. She has a prettier shape. She has longer hair. We're judging her, and then we're pointing and laughing and picking. That's a form of bullying. I don't think that people understand that. I don't think that people understand that when you gather together to point someone out for no reason and just talk about them and laugh and make fun of them, whether it's to yourself or out loud, to, you know, just the people that you're talking to, that's still a form of bullying, and that's a form of low self-esteem also. So that's a very, very important thing that people have to understand, that these kids are doing what they see. Now, Ms. Chason, we talked about cyberbullying. And we talked about the Internet. You know, the Internet plays a big factor in a lot of these kids being bullied. What is your take on the Internet access? As a parent, and I know that this may not happen, but this is just my suggestion, but we don't live in my world. We live in, you know, in the real world. I said if you have everyone put their Social Security number in there, then that'll keep underage kids from being on the Internet. Or if some people was allowed just one account and it registered your name and your birth date registered, you know, just like if you go to the DMV or you go to, I used to work for the electric company. So when you give us your, you know, your ID and your date of birth, it's going to match up with your name because we had a system that linked to the DMV. So we knew that if you were, you know, if that was you or not, and if it wasn't you, or if we thought that it wasn't you and it could have been you, you had to fax in ID information. So what do you think about that? Give me your give me your aspect on that. What do you think?
Yes, I think that does need to happen because it's a lot of things children is putting out on the internet and pulling up other videos of what another child has done, exploiting the children, you know, doing things that they're not supposed to do. And, yes, there needs to be a code put in for children to use if they are wanting to use the computer, or it shouldn't be under their information but the parent. So, yes, I think it needs to be coded because it's a lot of things that's popping up on the internet of videos and things like that of children being exploited. And even children, once they find out that they are exploited, you know, a lot of children have killed themselves. So, yes, that's very serious. I agree with that 100%, that it needs to be coded, and no child should just be able to get on the internet and do videos and things of that nature without, you know, the parents' consent, because there's a lot of that going on, and you hear about it all the time in the news.
And I agree with that. I think that parents have to monitor more, but I also made a statement that we have a lot of adults, I mean, really grown people, 50 and 60, 70, 80-year-old people that are on Facebook, you know, that are on Instagram, and they're doing some things that you would expect a teenager to do. So, you know, I think, like you said, it has to start at home, and it has to start with the adults. I also want to introduce Gabrielle Hayes. She's a young lady that is on the line with us. She is a college graduate who just graduated this year, and she's going to also tell us her personal testimony, because I want people to understand that bullying is just not in elementary or junior high and high school. It's also at a college level. And I want her to come in, introduce a little bit about herself, tell us, you know, who she is, who her pastor is, and give us, Gabrielle, tell us a little bit of your story and what happened to you while you were in college and being bullied.
Thank you so much, Ms. Nikki, for having me. My name is Gabrielle Hayes. I attend Southwest Community Baptist Church. My pastor is Mr. Greg Patrick. Just to give you a background on my story, I basically was a student at the University of Texas at Arlington, and with being such a small campus, especially the Black community being so small, a lot of the students would know each other. Well, like most students or some students, I'm very shy, and I was mostly the type of student that would kind of keep to myself, kind of stay out of the, you know, the main scene with the students and kind of keep to myself. Well, my personality, even though I may be shy to most people, I have a habit of when I go to class, I was always taught and raised on the values of, you know, put your best face forward. So when you leave, when I leave my dorm room, I'm not leaving in, you know, basically pajamas or sweats or what the stereotypical college attire is. I went to class and I took a pride in dressing myself, because I always used to tell myself, it's actually a common mantra with my family, is that even on your worst day, you know what, when you feel your worst, that's when you need to look your best, because sometimes, you know, translating it, when you look your best on the outside, it can translate to the inside. Because when you look your best, it, you know, sometimes it just makes you feel good, and it just makes you help develop your confidence and to take your, I guess, self-esteem to another level. Well, sometimes other students, particularly female students, wouldn't understand that. Like you had mentioned before, they would say things like, oh, she must think she's cute, or she must think she's all that because she doesn't speak to us and because of the way she dresses. And it's just like, you know, in my mind, in my personal opinion, I was like, well, what's wrong with me trying to, you know, think that I look very nice today? Like, what's wrong with me wanting to put my best face forward and to, you know, be excited about a new day and to express that in my own personal way? And it was really hard for me because at one point to kind of take the attention off myself, the negative attention that I felt that I was getting from peers around me in my college, I would, you know, start, I guess, going to the stereotypical college attire, which was sweats and whatnot. But then when I did that, it was like, oh, well, she looks a mess. And she looks like she's just, you know, she's ugly, or, oh, my God, she's cute, whatever. And it's just like at that moment it made me realize to myself that people are not going to be happy whether you're in a, you know, going to class in a, you know, cute pair of boots and a nice jacket, or whether or not you're in sweats with your hair pulled up. And it took me about 2 years, I want to say my senior year, when I finally just owned up to who I am, like, this is who I am, this is how I feel comfortable. And I would say to any other student that may be particularly going through that situation that this, you should own who you are. And if that's how you express yourself, if you don't want to wear jeans or a T-shirt or whatever way you express yourself and who you are, if people aren't going to accept that, then that's fine, because everyone has a unique purpose to be on this earth, and nobody is ever meant to be the same. And I believe that if when you go out into the world, you should leave your personal mark, and you shouldn't let others try to conform you to what they think. Because it's like when I was listening to another pastor, a local Dallas pastor, Pastor T.D. Jakes, he was saying, people will try to tell you to play a role that they have in their mind when they're not even happy playing a role that they created for themselves.
Now, that speaks a lot of volume. And
right.
That's one of those, people say aha moments, I say moments.
Right.
And the reason why I say that is because people would make you to be what they want you to be when they can't be what they need to be. And if you're on a, when you were talking, I was thinking about, you know, we have a organization here called Dress for Success. So if I'm getting up every day, and it does, as women, and I know that you as a young woman, Miss Chason, and even Miss Carnita Smith, when we go and get our nails done, our hair done, our feet done, we have our makeup on, we get our eyelashes, our eyebrows done, it makes you feel good about yourself. And I think what we're wanting our kids to understand, not that I think, I know, is that you want them to understand it don't matter what you look like and where you come from. It is about your inner beauty. That's what matters. And you're beautiful regardless, because when it comes to the Lord, God is not looking at the outside. He's looking at the inside. And so the inside is what matters. And you're in college, and like you said, it was a small town, you know, it's a small college, and the kids up there, they all knew each other. But even when I tried to fit in, I was still talked about. I was still picked on. And that lets you know that, okay, now those same people, you know, those same people are going to go on somebody's job and form another clique. And then they're going to start picking there. They're going to be in somebody's home, and they're going to pick there. So we want people to understand it's not teasing. It's not bullying. I mean, it's not teasing. It's not picking. It's bullying. And it's a demeanor behavior. If you are making someone feel low, hurting their feelings, talking about them, making them think that they're less than what they really are, then you are a bully. And as a young woman going to school to get an education, And because your parents have taught you that you don't go out the house with your hair all over your head, looking like somebody on the corner, looking like Willie Fufu, you have respect enough about yourself to make yourself look like you are somebody, whether you have that $1 million job or you have a $10 job. Because a lot of times perception is everything to some people. So I commend you for that. I commend what you said. I commend you for that because that speaks volume. That speaks a lot of volume. And, you know, Ms. Chason, I want to ask you something.
Yeah.
Now, you told us that your daughter, you know, passed away. And I want to ask you, what do you think your daughter, Ruche, would say now? What would she say now about your journey, what you're doing? What do you think she would say? How do you think she would feel?
Yes, I know she's smiling and saying, thank you, Mama, because it needs to be said. And what you just said about God, he looks at, you know, your heart. He doesn't look at your outer appearance. You brought volume when you said that because that is so true. And I know she's smiling, saying, thank you, Mama. This needs to be addressed because it's an epidemic, and I think it's through the whole United States, well, worldwide, that this is going on. So, yes, she's smiling and saying, yes, Mama, thank you. You know, something needs to be done. And my daughter had a real, she was fun, energetic person, always smiling, you know, because of her weight, they talked about her. But she was beautiful, you know, being a size 2 or a size 18. She was beautiful from the inside, and her smile just shined, you know. And a lot of people, they picked on her because she was overweight. But she was a beautiful, intelligent, smart girl. So she's smiling, Miss Nikki, right now. And she's telling me to keep doing what I'm doing and, you know, and to keep fighting, because as long as I keep fighting and address the issue, that her living was never in vain, you know, that she was here for a purpose. And, yes, I'm going to keep doing it. And keep striving for what's right, and keep talking, you know, about it, because it is an epidemic, and it's been going on for too long. Like you say, before our, you know, even during when our parents were going into school, that had been happening before the beginning of time, you know. So it needs to be addressed, and it needs to stop. You know, it needs to cease.
And I want people to understand, I'm going to ask both of you a question, and this relates to the schools. Gabrielle Hayes, I'm going to ask you, when you were being bullied in college, did you go to the administration? Did you speak to them? Did you tell them what was going on? Or, you know, anyone there that could help you that was an administrative position?
Unfortunately, no. And let me tell you why. The reason why I did not go to the administrators, because as my personal experience as a student, you know, in the college realm, most administrators that I have been to, just even seek advice for, like, just for something as simple as getting guidance to get my, like, to choose a specific degree path.
Yeah.
It was very difficult. It felt as if they didn't want to be bothered. They were too busy. All they wanted you to come in and already have your stuff together. They didn't want to talk about anything else outside of that. And that was just it. And if you, let's say, did have an issue or concern, they would just be like, oh, well, here, there's this free counselor on our campus, and that's it. But then you would try to go make an appointment with that counselor, and that counselor is busy or doesn't have time, but yet this is what they're paid to do. So, unfortunately, I did not see professional counseling from the administrators at the school. But I will say what did help me in my situation was having a great relationship with my mother. You know, when I was stressing out about it and just going through it, what really helped me was with my mom has always, since me and my brother have been younger, has been an advocate for, you know, when you're going through something, I'm here. I'm not going to judge. You can just talk to me about it, you know, just to get it off your chest. Just to, you know, I'll be the ear, you know, that you can lean on. And that's basically how I got through it, was literally just talking to my mom about it and getting an older person's insight. Because sometimes when you're younger, you know, you think young. So you may not see something in a way that she can see it and she can contribute to it.
And see, I like that because you have a mother that is there in your life. But mm-hmm. with the school administration, mm-hmm. unfortunately, it's not just was at your school. That's actually at probably every college, you mm-hmm. know. And even now, you know, since the bullying situation has gotten, like Ms. Chason said, it's an epidemic. You know,
right.
It's kind of like the Ebola virus. I want mm-hmm. people to treat bullying like the Ebola virus. You have that virus, let me quarantine you. Let me heal you. Let me talk to you and get this out of you. And that's the way I want it to be treated personally. But the fact that you had no one there, and listen to what she's saying. Even when I went to the counselor, they're like, okay, get in, get out. And you can go to this group, help here, these will help you. In other words, pushing you away. But for the student, the college student that doesn't have a mom or a dad, that's probably on their own and don't have mm-hmm. anybody to talk to but is going through this situation, thank God for your mother and what you've been have been, you know, what was instilled in you. But for the college child that's going through this that has nobody, that is so important why we must set things in place. That is so important why this issue has to stop. Because in that particular person, I'm taking my life. I'm going down a path of drugs and alcohol. Or I'm going to try to just put up with it and get through my 4 years of college. But then later on, when I'm 40 and 50 years old, I'm sitting in a psychiatrist's office because, as Ms. Chason said, I have all this hurt. See, we're looking at the long-term effect. You know, mm-hmm. it's a long-term effect that people have to understand. You know, oh, girl, she said that to you years ago. Let that go. Well, I can't let go of something that hurt me real bad. You know, it's very hard. And people think when you're saved, you can let everything go. That's not true. A lot of times you have to pray for God to help you to let a lot of stuff go because it's not easy.
Yeah.
And what I want to chase on, I want to ask her, when you went to the school, when your daughter told you she was being bullied, did you get the assistance that you needed? Was the situation rectified?
Well, when I went to the assistant principal about it, he told me that the issue was resolved and that he took care of it. But, you know, I had just, you know how you always listen to your first mind, your first instinct. My first mind told me that it wasn't resolved because he brushed me off kind of real fast and said, oh, don't worry about anything. I took care of it all. And he brushed me off real fast. So I think he was just telling me what I wanted to hear, but really didn't resolve anything. That's how I feel about it.
And do you know later on, before your daughter passed, did she ever say anything else about it?
She mentioned something about it. She said that when I mentioned it to her, after I talked to the assistant principal and I asked her, well, are you okay? Is everything fine? No one is picking on you. And she told me that everything was fine. But I don't know. I just felt like maybe someone, probably one more person or somebody was probably still kind of nitpicking with her. But she
just told me, no, Mama, no one is picking on me. Everything is fine. So
and see,
the only thing I could do is
go ahead,
to take her word that it was taken care of, you know.
Okay. Now, I want everyone that's listening to something that the Kingdom Builders informed us tonight. I mean, well, not tonight, a couple of series ago. That don't you know that they told us that every administrator, every teacher, every educator in every state has to report bullying, and if they do not report bullying, their charges can be filed on them. So we have to start making. And I'm not picking on the teachers in the school system because teachers have a hard job. Let me say that again. And it's not always the teachers are not to raise our children. We are to raise our children. But we do have teachers who see bullying issues, see people bullying, they laugh, they join in, or they turn their head. And if a child is being bullied, I want to make sure that every adult, every parent knows that if anyone in an educational field, if they are aware of a bullying situation, they can also be charged with bullying. That needs to be known. And I say that because we will get when we go to the school, oh, no, all of our educators are perfect. All our educators are, no one's going to pick here. No one's going to let that go by. There is some, because for just like they say, it's always a bad apple in the bunch. There are those that I have personally seen myself and experienced as a parent myself that bully. So we want to make sure that for those people that are listening tonight, whether you're in college, junior high, high school, elementary, they have a right. They have a responsibility, and you have a right to go and tell them, and they are responsible for doing something about it. We do not want you to be afraid, because you know the devil plays on fear, and so do people. And that's a true statement, because If I know you fear me, a lot of times if people know that you are fearful of them, they will boss you around, or they will say things or do things to you because they know that you're not going to do anything back. So they play on your fear, and a lot of times they're more scared of you than you are them. So we need all of our children and even some adults that are being bullied. We want them to understand that you have a voice. And if you're not strong enough to speak for yourself, there is an advocate that can speak for you. I want to ask, Ms. Chason, you told us about your daughter, how she was a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful young lady, how she was very bubbly and always smiling and was just a good child. I also heard that she was a straight-A student, honor roll student. And she was very, very smart.
Yeah.
And that she was very smart, and she was a very, very, and a lot of her teachers were very impressed and doted on Bruce, is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Gabrielle.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Ms. Chason.
Yeah, she was a good student all the way from pre-K all the way up until sixth grade, real smart. She had over 20 certificates all throughout her school year, from creative writing to most likely succeed to most improved in math. She had music awards, things of that nature. So she was real smart and talented. Yes, she was.
Now, We're going to open up. I'm going to turn it back over to Ms. Carnita in just a few minutes so that we can open up the line so that, you know, you ladies can take one or two questions. But I'm going to ask you before we do that to tell us, Gabrielle, what do you think would resolve this issue with the bullying? What do you see can be done? Because you're a young person,
mm-hmm.
and we want the young people to tell us what it is that we are not listening. I mean, tell us what it is, what we're not doing, that we're not listening, what we could be doing differently. You know, mm-hmm. what do you see as a resolution?
I believe that, to be honest, it's very simple. We need to bring, basically, humans back to society. And what I mean by that is that I feel like, as a person of the younger generation, you know, we've become accustomed to all these things like, you know, technology, just especially just throwing, you know, different stimulations at us every single day, that we don't become sensitive to the human aspect of things. Like we can watch, for instance, we can watch a movie, you know, a horror movie, and someone get mutilated and we'll laugh. You know, there's people that are my age that will just laugh at it and find it humorous. And they don't see, you know, and it could be like a true story. People still laugh at it, but they don't see the human aspect of it. Like, this is something terrible that someone actually went through. And I think, to be honest, it's really about just bringing back, like, this is a person, this is a human being, and just making younger people sensitive to the fact that these are real people with real emotions. When you look on social media, especially things called memes, which are basically pictures that entail jokes, like I guess common societal jokes amongst the younger generation. And all these memes talk about is, you know, lying, how to lie, you know, lie to somebody, like, or when your girlfriend finds out that you're lying, or, you know, when two girls are fighting over, you know, just silly, stupid, and things that we really shouldn't be laughing about or promoting, but we should be looking down upon, like, that's not right. Those are people, those are real people that are going through those situations, and it's not fun to, you know, take people's emotions and use them as, like, your source of entertainment. So I think, to be honest, it's just bringing back the human aspect of it, like realizing that these are real people. Because actually it's funny, one thing, like, there's this big debate when I was in college, you know, younger people say all the time, they post about it on their statuses all the time on Facebook. There's even memes that show that this is actually, that's really popular, that says, you know, people that aren't, that lie to me don't surprise me anymore. It's people that's loyal that surprise me. And that's really sad. So I think that teaching people to be more genuine and come from a more genuine place instead of a place of, place of just not understanding would be a first step, a really good first step.
And see, in order for people to, as you say, to come back to be more human, mm-hmm. they have to first have compassion and judgment.
Right.
And they also have to have a lot of people don't have a relationship with God. And they
right.
have to have that. So as long as we can, you know, it's going to, people will continue to be hurtful because nobody wants to pray. They took prayer out of the school. They don't want you to discipline your children. And now we have people, if I go to church for an hour, I'm there too long. But mm-hmm. we want to give everything else a lot of time. You have people in church now, which is, I'm still not used to this, which is where they take their phones out and they're reading the Bible from their phone. And mm-hmm. what people do not understand, your Bible is your tool. It's a purpose for you to have a Bible, because that Bible, yes, you can have the scriptures and stuff and pull it up on your phone, but your Bible is your personal relationship with God, because not only is your prayer life it, but the Bible is what teaches you. It's your tool. It's your lifesaver. So everything is, we have grown people demonstrating this, therefore our children don't have good examples. But I like what you said, and the reason why I asked that from a young person's perspective, because as us older people, I kind of flinch when I said that, but as us older people, you know, we can assume or think this is what the young generation needs, and this is what we need to do differently. But unless we hear it from a young person, you see what I'm saying? Because you're out there with the young people. You know what they're into. You know, you're a young person. So we have to pay attention and listen to you all so that you all can tell us what it is that we're not doing right. And I thank you for that. I want to also ask Ms. Chason, before we take a few calls, to please tell me what you think.
Yes. Praying with your child is number one, and having a relationship with God, number two. And people need to be, you know, more sympathetic and genuine and show compassion. You know, everything is not funny, or it's not always nice to be talking about somebody or being cruel to somebody. People need to, you know, get back to that, like, yes, this is a real human being. You know, we all have feelings and emotions. And a lot of people think another person is always wanting to joke or laugh or have fun. That's good to do. But then when you take in, you know, the perspective of, like, talking about them or talking down on them, then that's something totally different. We can all, this is life, you know, we want to live and have fun, joke. But when you're hurting someone's feeling or seeing something that is going to affect them, we need to think twice about it. So it's getting back to reality and knowing that people have feelings. Some people have emotions to where they are sensitive to things. And people just need to be more genuine at heart and learn how to be kind and show love. Because if you don't have love, if you don't, you know, love anyone, or if it's something about your self-esteem, you know, a lot of times you want to throw it back at someone else because you have things going on, or if you have issues within yourself. See, a lot of people I notice, like on the job, if there's something going on within yourself, or if it's something that you don't like within yourself, a lot of times you will talk about other people. Yeah. And a lot of people need to get to the fact to where love yourself too first. You love yourself, and then you can love other people. And I feel like, you know, I feel like people just need to be more genuine and kind-hearted and not so much of wanting to criticize or be skeptic for something all the time. That's not good. And that's my perspective of it.
Yes, I thank you, ladies. I thank you, Ms. Tracy Chason. I thank you, Gabrielle Hayes. I'm going to turn it over to Carnita Smith, and she's going to open up the panel so that the line so that you can maybe take one or two questions if anybody has any questions for you. I thank you for your insight. I thank you for telling us your personal testimonies and your stories, for sharing your time with us about this issue that we're trying so hard to stop. Sister Carnita Smith?
Yes, I am here. I so appreciate you, Gabriella. I appreciate you, Tracy, and certainly my co-host, Nikki. You both have been such an inspiration, and I just pray and hope that those who are listening, that you are just moved in your heart to lift up this dark area in society, and just one out of many, and this bullying situation. Gabriella has expressed her experience of this, and we have a mother who has went from a grieving moment on losing her daughter and then turned that around for the good of others to become an advocate alongside Nikki and so many others that are out there on the platform trying to bring bullying awareness to the forefront. And I tell you, I thank you both women so much from a mother's perspective and even from a daughter's perspective. So I want to open up the lines, and the lines are open for anyone who may have a tender moment that would like to address a question to either one of the ladies, Tracy or Gabriella or even Nikki. You have the opportunity to do so. So please just chime in at this moment while we've got a few moments before the program is over. I just want to give you an opportunity to either express an issue you had with bullying, or maybe your child has experienced it also, or your child may have bullied and you had to rectify that in that child's life. We talked about that last series where on series two, actually, with the Kingdom Builders, one of the pastors was very transparent in expressing and letting us know that his son was bullying others, and it just totally surprised him. So please chime in at this time if you have a question, and I will acknowledge you for either one of the guests tonight. So the lines are open, and please just make yourself aware, and we will address you at this time. So, Gabriella, I have a question for you.
Yes.
I super agree with you on the resolution coming from a young woman's perspective as far as young adults. And I just agreed with you indicating to your generation now that find everything funny on you know, and it's not funny when people are getting hurt, mm-hmm. or even abused or being victims, and that is not something to be humorous about. But taking a stand for what you know is right and advocating against things like that. So when you're in your group of friends and maybe that one individual might find something humorous about something that you may not find very humorous, then would you confront that person in a tender and loving way and say, hey, wait a minute, would you be willing to do that at that moment or maybe later?
I always assess the situation. If I have to know that person, and, you know, it depending on how comfortable I am with that person. Now, let's say I really just don't know this person, and this is probably the only time I'm going to, you know, speak with them and have this conversation, then I do believe in civil conversation. And there is a way to express your opinion, I truly believe, and get it across without sounding like you know it all or that you're trying to be controversial or anything of that sort, but just really truly expressing your opinion and, you know, standing up for what you believe in while at the same time not making the other person feel like they're being attacked. For instance, say if I was having a conversation with an individual and they were bringing up a subject, you know, something recently that I find a lot with social media, because I have multiple social media accounts, is a lot of people are joking about domestic violence, and that's, like, been a really hot topic lately due to all the different recent events that's been happening in the media. And in particular, there was this one guy on my Facebook who posted a picture saying, this is going to be my Halloween costume this year. And his Halloween costume, he was going to dress up as Ray Rice, and he was going to have a doll that he was going to drag as, I guess, his victim. And I found that highly offensive. And so,
wow.
You know, and this guy had a daughter, which was the crazy part, you know, just had a daughter. And so I spoke to him, or I wrote to him on his post, and I was just like, you know, the implications behind this picture is not funny. I mean, and he was just like, you know, it's just a joke. People just want to take things too seriously. I said, okay, Race is funny. Domestic violence is funny. But, like, if someone was to make a joke about cancer or something, people are like, wait a minute, man, you're being insensitive. That's not funny. And I don't get that. Like, you can't joke about cancer. Why can't you joke about rape? Why can't you joke about, you know, domestic violence? That's not funny, you know.
Right,
so a woman
right.
or man being battered isn't funny. We can't joke about cancer, and that's, you know, you don't see too many comedians making jokes about cancer, but they're making jokes about, oh, yeah, man, if that girl's online, I'll punch her in the face or something. Like, we shouldn't be able to joke about that either. All of that should be off limits because all of those are serious offenses and, you know, seriously injure people.
Yeah, and you're right. I mean, and I totally agree 100%. It's just like a double standard. But our purpose tonight is to bring awareness to these issues and taking a stand for opposite. And I thank God for Tracy stepping up and taking a stand for opposite. It's sad that she had to lose a child behind foolishness in people's minds in every way, shape, and form. Internet, whether it's just words or verbally, physically, or mentally. And like Tracy mm-hmm. said, it may not be being punched in the face or something of that nature, but we know our words do hurt. And the Bible
mm-hmm.
talks about that, about taming our tongues. You know, have a tame
mm-hmm.
tongue. You know, be quick to listen and slow to speak. And some of these little simple biblical principles are so needed in our families, especially our children. And they don't have to be browbeaten. They don't have to be beat up with the Bible. But just instill these very simple principles. Loose lips sink ships. So that was something my dad told my oldest son, that, boy, you talk so much and you've got a bad case of excuse-itis. Every time something comes up, you're trying to find an excuse as to why you did what you did. And so he's got the gift of gab. He's 30 now, 29, but he still has the gift of gab. But back in his younger days, elementary, my daddy would tell him, loose lips sink ships. And I still remind that boy of that to this very day. So it's just, you're right, Gabrielle. You're right, Tracy. These simple principles concerning our children that need to be embedded in them. And with biblical backup, you know, Gabrielle, you sound like you're a young lady that was raised in spiritual background, and you maintain that status, and that is a cool status, and it's okay for our children to be that way. And I think that's the solution. That is the rectifying solution to this problem, is that we stop the bleeding. You know, don't continue to allow another generation come from the wombs of women that will just be trained up in a way that they should not go. And, of course, the Bible teaches opposite of that. So if anybody is on the line, if anybody wants to bring to the table tonight some concerns that may have popped in their heart, don't be timid. This is not a time for us to be standoffish or cowardly back up. No, we are to stand up for what is right. If we call ourselves believers in Christ Jesus, then let's be believers in Christ Jesus, and let's take a stand for what we know deep down in our heart is right. If you are from the Houston area, you know our mayor is coming against our pastors right now on the forefront concerning their sermons. She wants to subpoena. Actually, she has subpoenaed a few of our pastors in the city of Houston, Texas, about their sermons and what they are preaching across the pulpit. Now, if we want to talk about something, she's bullying our reverend. And that's a child of light that is preaching the unadulterated word, the truth of the matter. And so if she can come against our pastors, then she's coming against the body of Christ, as far as I'm concerned. And so how do we take a stand? We stand up and be that light that shines bright on a hill and not dim down our light concerning this issue. It's a subtle form of bullying. Who is the subtle accuser? Satan himself. And he comes in very subtle, and he stirs up discord. So, again, we've got about 1 minute left to our program, and I'm just willing to allow this program to go a little bit further for someone to just not be ashamed
not be ashamed of what is right. And I thank you, Nikki, for bringing this out in the manner that you have. And we've got one more series to this program, to Who's Bullying Who. And I tell you, we're going to have an awesome time next Thursday. And just bringing some children, some of those who were bullied and who did bully. You know, let's hear it from the mouth of babes. Let's get to the root of this thing. And let's really see how they were thinking and what ran across their minds when they did do what they did. And then we pray for transformation. So if we don't have any questions, then that's okay. You know, this has been an awesome time. Nikki, if you have any other questions for our guests, we're going to bring our program to an end. Did you have anything else that maybe may need to be said, or we just want to kind of finalize on this?
Well, I want to tell both of the ladies, Ms. Gabrielle Hayes and Ms. Tracy Chason, thank you very much. I was actually hoping that Ms. Chason would close us out in a prayer, if that is okay.
Okay. That's fine. Lord, thank you this evening for an opportunity to get a chance to speak upon bullying and making more people aware of bullying. I thank you, oh God, for just giving us strength to be able to speak about some things that have hurt us in the past. I'm asking, Father, that you allow us to continue to do what we're doing right now and making people aware and bringing this to the table, oh, Father. Oh, Father, bless the lives of all the parents in the world that is having children in school and that they have to deal with it. Give them a better understanding and a discernment, oh, Father, to teach their children right from wrong, oh, Father. In the name of Jesus, as I'm so thankful for the opportunity to speak about this epidemic, oh, Father, let you just continue to shine, and maybe this world will be a better place, oh, Father. Maybe we can stop the bullying among children and parents as well, oh, Father. Let this program go forth, and, oh, Father, may the last series be the best series, oh, Father. And let us continue to make it aware, oh, Father, and we're going to continue to fight for change. In the name of Jesus, thank you, oh, Father, for this day, and everyone be blessed tonight. Amen.
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 That brings us to the end of Mission from the Heart Radio, our series for number four, Who's Bullying Who? And just always remember that if you find yourself in a situation where you have been bullied or you don't know where to turn, always tell somebody. Tell somebody what has happened to you and do not be afraid, and then turn to Jesus. He is the way, he is the life, and no one can do anything better but Jesus. He is our healer, our protector, and he will fight every battle in our life. So just trust the Lord, and if you are not saved, please call upon the name of Jesus and just give him your heart. And confess that you are a sinner, and always remember that the word of God will stand forever and ever. This closes out our program tonight with Nikki Mason and Carnita Smith concerning Who's Bullying Who, Mission from the Heart Radio. God bless and good night.
Good night.